today's episode is sponsored by our premium Patreon subscribers, Madonna Hines with a Sexy J, Chrissy Dougherty, and Mia Hansen Aloha. Thanks.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. And joining me as usual is the hilarious and super funny and super champagne room wanting, but perhaps we'll never have, Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Roast Freaks Bachelor podcast. That's right. I just killed your dream. I created it and then I killed it.
Hi, everybody. I need a hamburger room or like a Domino's room for some pizza. See? I don't need a fucking champagne room. That it tastes bad and it makes your breath stink really bad.
Yeah, no, the reason why I said you'll never have one is because I know you are too smart to have one.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about Real Housewives of Potomac today, as is our God-given right. And
it's why it's in the Constitution, y'all.
It's why it's in the Constitution. But you know what, though? Before we get into Potomac, you know what? This weekend is a very special weekend, as it happens to be Mother's Day weekend. And we have to give a little special Mother's Day love to Liz from Newmarket, Ontario, and her son, Lil Pudgy. We're going to give you guys...
Didn't my mom write this?
Yes. Yes. So Liz from Newmarket, Ontario, I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. And this is coming from Lil Pudgy. This is coming from inside his brain.
This is coming from Big Pudgy.
Big Rondell, Pudgy's.
And Never Pudgy Band.
Yeah, actually, it's really coming from your husband, Jacob, who is sweet. And he really, really, really wanted you to know how much you are the best.
So, and hey, while we're at it, thanks to our own moms. And thanks to all the moms out there, because you created people.
Yeah.
And also, you put up with all sorts of our shit, no matter what. And even those moms out there who are not our moms, you do the same with us.
Yeah.
When we do anything bad or really are too out of line, you very sweetly and encouragingly tell us to get our shit together. And you know what? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for not naming all of us Lil Pudgy, by the way. Thank you for sparing us that shame. So, yes, because we do have a lot of moms who listen. So we respect you. And thank you, because you're awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Keep it up. Keep mothering.
Keep mothering.
All right, now, speaking of moms, shall we move on to some Real Housewives of Potomac?
Oh, please, please. Let's move on right on over into them.
Now, girl, you know I love a driveway fight.
Yeah.
Which only this show can pull off. And we open this episode back in the driveway with Giselle saying, like normal, Giselle already got kicked out of this party.
Yeah.
And I love when Giselle starts talking about Giselle in the third person, which we just watched Atlanta. And there's a lot of first person, third person, this and that. And so I like that Giselle is kind of continuing the theme.
Yes.
Through the next hour.
She's good with that. Because as you may remember, Giselle was kicked out because she was being obnoxious in Monique's house, because we're still at the Spades game.
And of course, her version is, well, I was waiting for Monique to leave. And, you know, I mentioned that she's long-winded because she is long-winded and she got offended. I can't believe it.
Just happened to say that. Karen, meanwhile, is back at the spades table. She's not paying. She doesn't care. She's like, drama is beneath me. Sort of like the linoleum on my floors.
Sort of like this wrought iron chair that is literally beneath my butt that I might drag into the garage later to lean back in and tell you all about how drama's beneath me.
Drama is beneath me, sort of like how tube TVs are beneath flat screen TVs in public acceptance.
So Monique comes out to the driveway and she's like, what's going on? We are waiting for you. We are trying to play cards. And they're like, and Ashley's like,
well, we were just saying bye to Giselle.
She goes, what's really going on? I don't do this BS. And they're like, well, you're making her leave. And she says, I didn't want her to leave, but she's just talking trash and it's not cool to me. And Ashley says that basically Giselle's like a new puppy, you know? You yeah. have to yell at it and teach it not to pee on the furniture, but then you still have to love it later. To which I say, no, you don't. If that thing doesn't learn in 3 months, you put it down and get another one. Okay? It's called a broken puppy.
This is why I'm a cat person. Okay? That's why I want. I want something that automatically knows where to pee and shit. All right?
You know, that's true, actually. Giselle is like a cat. No matter what, she's going to give you shit and then shit inside all the time. You know she's going to do it when you bring her over to your
I
house.
I guess that's why I like Giselle so much. So then the oddest thing about this is that Monique's like, listen, I'm not going to beg someone to stay. I'm like, beg someone to stay? You're the one who kicked her out. it's not like she's making some stand. Like, I'm going to leave this party. No, you kicked her out. Of course you're not going to beg her to stay.
I did like that she said, you know, you act so snotty around me and like I owe you something. You've got your walls up, which is very housewives. Mm-hmm. She's like, you got your walls up and I don't have to prove myself to you. And you seem totally uninterested. So yeah. If you want to come in and have fun, fine. But if you want to be a snotty bitch, don't. And she's yeah. like, that's why I'm getting in the car. It's like,
she's like, I just get it. She's like, have fun or be a snotty bitch. Yeah. I'll be the snotty bitch. I like that.
Cat, but then, of course, Monique. All these girls, always. Monique's like, she's just jealous.
Yeah, always. Yes.
Which is true.
Well.
Because Giselle can't stop yeah. mentioning her money and her money and her money and her That's and true. Her house and her money and, you know, all this stuff.
That's true. So Giselle leaves and it's back to spades. It's like fun time with spades. Chris is all like,
everything all right, baby. Get it a roll on, baby. Would you like to make a bid on it?
So that's fun times. But then Ashley's like,
Karen, I want to talk to you about Robin.
And she's like, all right, Mr. Black Bill Gates, we have to go sit over here a foot away to talk about this. So they go and...
We're going to talk about the leak in Black Windows 10. We'll be right over there, honey.
We're going to be playing some Minesweeper by sweeping the lies away from the minefield.
I'll be sure to tell all the girls to use Blackhaffy Virus Scanner.
I'm sorry, Ray, but the paperclip is trying to talk to me. He has some tips, apparently, about my wood processing. Would you like to save now, Ray? Be a good time to.
It starts with Ash and Karen alone. Yeah. And she's like, well, this drama's beneath me, girl. I've been dating my boo. And Charisse is like, I've made this BNOV.
Is it the damn family? Tha-tha.
Wouldn't come on the hoverboard, but the steps here.
Also, I broke it. That's why I'd use it as a baseball bat.
I need a handicap rope. A handicap ramp. Tha-tha ramp.
I need a tha-tha ramp. Some days I'm Therese and I take the stairs. Some days I'm tha-tha and take a ramp.
And Ashley, not, you know, ever learning, is like,
well, I was just saying that I'm worried because I hear that Juan is seeing other people and Robin doesn't know and she's just going to be a doormat.
And Karen's like, word on the street. First of all, Potomac is small. And the word on the street is a cul-de-sac. So the word can be on a street, and then it starts going in circles and circles. And you just say, leave my mail, Mr. Mailman, and leave. But they don't. Because
word on the street is hump. Because there's a hump you have to drive over. And they write hump on there, so well, you know.
How word about on that? The street is slow, children play.
Word on the street is railroad crossing. Stop here.
Word on the street is Black Bill Gates crossing.
Word... I don't know what else is written on the street. Word on the street is 405 this lane, 110 on this lane.
Cross your own walk. Word on the street.
So, yeah, so Ash is like, E-wan! And so then Robin comes and joins. And she's like,
what's going on, guys?
Hey, guys. And she's like, well, we're talking about the one situation. And Robin's like, well, we're not in a relationship. It's okay. It's like, and then Robin says, if Juan weren't here, I might just clock that bitch. I'm like, please. You could have clocked her in front of Juan. You're on a reality show. You're supposed to clock her in front of Juan.
Actually, you should clock her in front of Juan. He might grow some respect for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Your weak ass.
Yeah.
So Charisse is like, well, what's he supposed to do? We hear the party. What's he supposed to do? Run him down to have a fight? And yes, Ashley tells us,
well, she says they're working on things, but... now she's saying she doesn't care if he has girlfriends, and I don't get it.
Well, if he's happy, then you should be happy. And then Ashley goes,
but look, Cha-Cha, you lived in a relationship for a long time, and that wasn't happy, and now you're crying all the time. And sometimes other people can see it, and you don't.
Which is very true. And she wasn't saying it as a diss, but it didn't go over
like,
well.
You know, you should, you know, I'm seeing things, and, you know, you should at least hear them out. And she's like, maybe ask you to focus on your marriage to that old gay guy than our marriages to the people who don't like us.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the difference here is that Charisse stayed because her husband has money and she has more power in the neighborhood because she's married to a famous guy. So she's in all these charities and she's got all this money and a big house. So she's also attached to that stuff. Whereas Robin's just with a poor man. She's just attached to him out of love from being a 16-year-old.
Hot, you know? Man.
Hotness, yeah, hotness.
Yeah, hot. Well, I mean, the difference, though, is also, it's actually not as simple as that, because Charisse was in a marriage, and so she stayed in it because she was sort of paralyzed and didn't want to go through divorce, and, you know, that happens in life. But Robin's already gone through the hard part. She's already divorced. So it is weird that they're still together. I mean, because she clearly, my theory is this, which I probably have made this theory every single week, but I can't remember anything from day to day, but, Robin is still in love with Juan, but, like, in her mind, she knows he cheated on her, and she knows that she should have more self-respect than to go back to the man who cheated on her, but she's in love with him, so she's trapped. So she doesn't want to look like a fool, but she also doesn't want to leave this guy who she just really loves.
True, and also I have to just add, when I say the difference is she was with a man with money, that's the difference for me. That's why it's easier for me to excuse it. Because I see what she's getting out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But Robin, there's nothing she's getting out of it. I mean, the guy's not even that nice to her. But well, occasionally. I mean, who knows?
I don't know. Maybe tonight.
You know, she like irons her hair every night and is like, well, that was a waste, but not really because my hair's ironed. Like, she's always trying to make it positive. But here's the thing I'm confused about. She said last season, Juan cheated on me. We divorced. I decided that since we're going through money trouble and because I still love the guy and because we're still best friends, that we can still live together and have a relationship. We sleep in the same bed. I know it's weird to other people, but maybe one day it'll work out and maybe it won't. But now everybody's acting like,
what do you mean you're still living with him, but you're not?
You already know this. Did you guys watch the first season?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like this is new.
As they're talking about this, Monique walks up and she's basically like, we don't do this at a party. Let's go. Everyone start dancing. So they all start dancing. Like, this is why you're going to get fired off the show. You don't, if a fight is percolating, you don't make it go away and have everyone dance. You jump in and just take it to the next level. This is what you need to do.
But this is so the community theater show on Bravo, because everybody gets up and immediately starts dancing and there ain't no music. Oh, yeah. These people will just say watermelon, cucumber, porcupine or whatever if they have to be in the background. Like, they'll take any kind of direction. They're just like, keep our jobs.
Yeah.
So and then Robin does, I'm sorry, I just have to add that Robin does the typical thing where she's like, well, I don't know what her problem is, but she's probably jealous and wants Juan's dick.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, probably. So then the next day, Karen and Ray go to the realtor, you know, because they're trying to sell their house. And it was originally on the market for $2 million, but now it's dropped all the way down to less than $1.8
million. And Karen is wearing some hat. She's like, actually, speaking of Black Affy virus software, she's like the little detective guy who pops up on virus scanners. It's like scanning your computer for clues. What are you doing? You're the realtors.
I don't know who that is, but I like the idea that Karen might be scanning for viruses on your hard drive. We are currently looking at your CPU.
You might want to empty the cache from your AOL account, which can build up over time.
This hard drive is a very small hard drive. Everyone knows everyone about their viruses.
She says, we're at a strong real estate agent's office, and I need a strong real estate agent to sell my home.
My house is the best thing since China was invented. I was like, what sort of China was this? We were talking about Fisher Price China.
Are you talking about plates or China?
Both. Happened twice. Yeah.
This is better than when Ming Charling took office in the 1800s.
This is the best thing since the Ming Dynasty, and I have 400 terracotta soldiers downstairs, too. And they're all watching the tube TV.
There's nothing quite like a dragon parade.
People often say I'm a firecracker. I actually have firecrackers in my home.
And she goes, well, you know, look, the house has been on the market for a while, and now we're starting to get the bottom feeders. She goes, well, don't bring them to my house. I won't get out of bed for that. Quite frankly, I'm insulted.
I think that's what a lot of the buyers said when they saw your white stove.
The buyer who deserves this home should be... a classy, snooty bitch.
Well, Karen, we should probably put out, like, a sign, maybe. You're having it open. She's like, no. No sign. That's tacky. Absolutely not. If anyone wants to know if my house is on sale, I will fax them a reference.
I will Morse code tap this on my counters every day. And when someone classy enough to know Morse hears it, they will come.
I am more than happy enough to go to Michael's and get his bunch of picture frames and put the listings in there, but there will be no sign.
Oh, stupid. Well, of course people want a dishwasher, but I have to take Ray with me to the new home.
So anyway.
I don't want neighbors to walk through my home. No. If people want to see my home, I'll have a dinner. On China.
Yeah.
To remind people how amazing this home is.
We have a great machine where you set it and forget it. Makes divine food.
So she's like hardlining the real estate agent as if the real estate agent is a buyer. And yeah. It's hilarious to me. So next up is Monique.
Cal and Giselle.
Oh, why did I write Monique? Is that right?
Well, what were you going to say?
It's... I don't know. Who knows?
Because
Callages.
Yeah. So Cal, Giselle and her gay Cal. I really enjoy Cal. I think Cal is hilarious. And he's so cute. They go to breakfast and Giselle is like, how are you? And he, as a good gay, he's like, oh, it's not about me. How is Miss Giselle? Well, and then she just goes on.
Yeah. So, he's like, we're here for you. As always, let's talk jeans.
Yeah.
She's like, that's why I asked about you first. He's like, no, you. I mean, you. Okay, well, I want my daughters to know that I am a woman, and this will not stand, unlike these women living off their men's money. I'm like, well, that's, you know, this actually made me happy with Giselle, because I really do like that attitude. I just don't like that she's suddenly judgmental of everybody else, even though she's done it for 50 years.
Yeah, exactly. So she starts testing out her every hue beauty on Cal, on his face. And she's saying how she's doing this thing because she wants to retire to a yacht in 10 years. And she's like, and to all the haters, F you up the butt in a major way.
Like, and he's okay. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Like, you're talking to a gay guy. I actually like this because, you know, I love girl power. So I was like, she's actually doing it. You know, she's got 12 views, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. I know it's rare for me to say, but.
And then Giselle starts making fun of Monique's side. They're like talking about that food. And she was like, well, the potatoes had no salt or pepper.
Yeah, she said, now let's talk this party food. Did you like it? And he's like, I like the potatoes. They had no salt and no flavor. Yeah. And I went to that party because I'm curious about her 17 homes. Miss, I have 17 homes. I mean, this has to be a home that's in Architectural Digest. And I just can't wait to see this fantastic thing. Still waiting.
Yeah, it was pretty obnoxious, but it was still making me laugh.
I was like, go hug your white stove, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Cal's like, well, she does have a fish tank in the kitchen.
Yeah, and they're like, who has a fish tank in the kitchen? Which I agree with. I think
Scar
it's
fought. She goes, the only people I know with a fish tank in the kitchen are Scarface or The Godfather. I'm like, wow, all richer than you.
Moving and not real on. People. Yeah. So then we go to Shasha, who is going to go. At first, I was like, oh, she's buying prom gowns for her daughter. But then we find out she's actually buying gowns for herself, which was sad. She's at some store run by a lady named Gilda. And it was just a bunch of nasty old gowns. And the only reason why they were there was that they were clearly going to get one for free.
Yes. And you know that this is a town where no reality shows are filmed. Because Gilda was like, oh, hello. She's like actually happy to see them there. Yeah. And when a fight breaks out, she's like, why are they fighting my store?
Gilda's so confused.
Welcome to being on TV, Gilda.
Yeah.
So Charisse is trying on this flesh-toned,
hideous gown. It was like a beauty pageant and a figure skater had like a love child and it shat out ruffles on the bottom.
Race.
Yeah.
A potato sack race.
Yeah.
She goes, in Potomac, you can never wear the same gown twice. Okay.
You mean you can never wear it just twice. It's gonna be 5 or 6 times before.
So there are rules. There are rules at the Potomac Red Lobster now. Please.
Now that I'm gonna be branching out of the NBA Wives Association, I've gotta bring out a new crop of gowns.
Charity season is amongst us, and let's go shopping. There's a season for charity. I'm sorry, homeless man. I will not give you a dollar. It is winter, sir. Please come back when the season is. Right.
Yeah. So Ashley comes over, and now basically Shasha starts telling Ashley that she was insensitive at the barbecue to Robin, and all she does is run her mouth and all of that, and Ashley is, you know, shocked. Like, Shasha! So,
I feel like Beyonce in this one. Like, oh, please stop with your Beyonce, okay?
Will this train get tangled up in my hoverboard?
She's like the Beyonce from the most recent Grammys, where Beyonce sits in a chair for 5 minutes and this is all you hear. Dong, dong, ding, dong, dong. And you see the audience looking at each other like, what the fuck is she doing?
No, she's not.
That's even,
she's the only part. She's the Beyonce from the Hamburger Helper commercial, where the Hamburger Helper commercial goes and then all of a sudden it ends and Beyonce comes and goes, hi, I'm Beyonce for Hamburger Helper. That's the Beyonce that she is. Or she's the Beyonce for, is it Amazon? I think it's Amazon. Maybe it was, maybe some American Express, where it's like, a day in the life of Beyonce, and then she's in a limousine. They're like, Beyonce, is there anything else we can get you? And she goes, yes, a boomerang. You're like, what?
I would try to get in on this with you, but I just can't top Hamburger Helper.
No,
no way.
I feel like no one even references that commercial. I distinctly remember it's like a Hamburger Helper commercial with a little glove, being like, "Whoa, what's for dinner tonight? It's Hamburger Helper," and it's all like, "Yay, Hamburger Helper!" And then it's like it looks like the commercial's over, and then it's like black and white. It's like, "Hi, I'm Beyonce for Hamburger Helper, and I've partnered with Hamburger Helper to bring food for children." And I was just like, this is a strange co-branding situation.
I feel like she's the Beyonce in the elevator with Jay-Z when Solange comes in and starts beating the shit out of Jay-Z for cheating on Beyonce. And Beyonce just stands there and pretends nothing happened.
That's entirely too exciting.
At the end of the day, Solange got in trouble for that. Beyonce was like, you know, you shouldn't get into my business. That is none of your business. And hitting my man in an elevator. And she's like, stand up for yourself, girl. Why aren't you standing up for yourself? Suddenly she's not invited to the side yard party, you know?
Yeah. So, so Ashley and Sasha are fighting, and eventually Ashley's like,
just because I didn't let someone treat me like garbage for 4 years doesn't mean I'm a little girl.
Yes, and, you know, that she does get mean back, but man, Charisse is just such an asshole. She's never learned to fight, and she puts on this big fake thing when she fights, and she just goes way too hard. She's standing there in some terrible dress with her black bra hanging out and holding her iPhone, lisping at some young girl and starting to yell at her in the store. And what did she say? She says, she goes, lately Ashley is, she starts talking like she's not there. She's like, lately athlete into everybody's business. You're like a mini Giselle. And Ashley says,
well, part of being a friend is spilling tea, even if people don't want to hear it.
She's like, you're being messy, little girl, spreading lies.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not a little girl. And all you talk about is real relationship talk. And blah, blah, blah. And it's my business because you're crying to me about it every 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So then she says that thing like, well, just because I wasn't like visible for 4 years doesn't mean I'm a little girl. And Charisse goes, good luck having babies with an old man. And then Charisse goes, you know, because he's old, so the sperm might not be swimming. Because he's, you know, what I'm trying to say is that you get like you're 20, he's in the 60s. So like, you know, he might have erectile dysfunction. Like, so like when he ejaculates, because men ejaculate, the sperm might not be working and you have an egg that needs to be fertilized. And if the sperm does not get the egg, you might not have a baby because he's old. And again, you're young. So therefore, you know, you see what the joke is there? Because, so here's what I'm saying. You have a vagina and you have a penis.
There's a stork. There's a bird and a bee.
You're the stork. But here's the thing. If the linen's not clean, he can't pick up the baby. So, like, I mean, you don't know where the stork is going to go. It's a bird, okay?
Oh, so you're trying to say he's too old? Well, that's not even how you have babies. You have babies by making a profit at a restaurant, stupid!
You don't have to be so emotional. Get that? It's a play on emotional. But it's an emu, because you serve emu. At your restaurant called Oz.
It's also a play on Metamucil, which your husband probably take because he can't poop because he's old.
See, what happens is when you're old, you know, your system's slowed. Like, weird things happen. You get digestive issues. You get sunspots. I mean,
you stop covering your face when you see your ex-wife coming up to you in public.
So when I say emu, it works on a lot of levels. I can't explain it all to you, Ashley, right now, but you know what I'm saying. It was a good joke. It was a good joke.
Ashley's fucking gone. She's like,
this bitch is crazy.
And Charisse goes, yeah, he probably has a vasectomy. He's just lying to you about it, which, A, good point. But please don't try and drop any more lessons on Ashley. It's already been a lot. It's been a lot. I feel like I deserve a college credit just for sitting through that.
So, yeah,
why they fight in my store?
Why they fight in my store? I just gave her an Indian accent for no good reason.
I know. So, I just made her into like the guy from Taxi.
Why do they fight in my store?
Von, why do they fight in my store?
I am Gilda, queen of the pageant gown. So then we have a commercial break and we come back. It's like the montage time because we haven't had one yet this episode. It's like, and it's like, oh, putting things out. Ashley hates salt and pepper shakers like that. And then, you know, all that.
As much as Giselle is jealous of Monique's money and is just so offended by it, Monique really is an asshole. She's like, Jill, it's her assistant. She's like, please move the salt and pepper shakers. And oh my gosh, look, it's another check. We've got money everywhere. I like that. I'm sorry, I just noticed this note, but they've got this really nice line of continuity because then it cuts to Karen and she goes, yes, I love this hat. Write a check all day long. My Karen is writing checks in a fucking store. Come on!
Yeah. Now, excuse me while I write this in my ledger. Excuse me.
I shall initiate a bank transfer.
Do you accept hay pennies?
Hay pennies.
So. Now, excuse me. Moving on here on my... I forgot what you call them. Never mind.
If that man wants to marry my daughter, I expect a heifer and a donkey. I will accept no less.
What do you call those big bicycles that have the big front wheels and the little back wheels? I forget what they're called.
Not a unicycle, then.
It's a French. It's the. Oh,
I just say
like,
Le Poisson.
It makes me want, French, I want to say the Petit Four, but it's not a Petit Four because that's a pastry.
Macaron.
Yeah, I
only know a few French words. I just say Le Poisson for everything.
I'll look it up. I'll get everyone. This is not going to be another lapis lazuli situation. I'm going to get to the bottom of this one.
Excuse me, sir. I need the bathroom.
Penny farthing.
Please
penny
tell
farthing.
Me where I can find Le Poisson. I'm like, going to pee on a fish?
I knew it was a penny farthing. I was like, once I said, hey, Penny, that bike came into my head. I was like, I don't know why it's in my head, but I know it has something to do with that hey, penny. Penny
well, if farthing. You haven't got a penny, a hey, penny will do, okay?
We're going to take... Ray and I are going to take our penny farthings out through Potomac tonight. We're going to...
My home
looking at
is...
new fax machines.
My home will only sell for 19 million hey, pennies.
Well, you know, we make hay while the sun's still shining. Am I right? Hey, Penny. That's some good hey, Penny shade.
So Juan and Robin go over to do a radio show, and it's like Juan followed by just a gust of warm air. They're like, hey, welcome to the radio. She's like,
yeah, they're like, welcome to the Brett Hollander show on 1080 Sports Time Live Fun Times. They're like, this is Juan Dixon, a superstar of the Atlantic Coast, and his partner, Robin.
I can't believe you just called me a partner.
And this is, so now here's where I think Robin, this is a little annoying, because Robin's like,
it's funny because people don't really know what to call us. Like, I'm actually still comfortable with people calling me his wife.
And I'm like, now, Robin, you just can't do that. Now you're just like fucking with people. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't well, do this whole, like, we do our own separate thing, but you can still
this
call me his wife.
It's so sad.
It's sad.
You know, Robin has had her ups and downs for me on this show. But in general, I really like her.
She seems like a nice person.
She's and smart. I actually really respect that she knows Juan is fucked up. She's been with him since she was young. I like that she's willing to stay together for the family. Like, there's some things that I like that she's doing, but at the same time, it's just she needs to have some more self-respect, you know? I know she's scared, but come on, girl, you can do it.
Wait a second. I have to interrupt this because this pertains to marital stuff. This is kind of hilarious. Oh my god. This is a Real Housewives thing, but it has nothing to do with Potomac. This tweet just came up on my screen. Joanna Krupa is getting divorced. Let me tell you something, people of Watcher Crappins. Just last week we talked to Joanna Krupa and we're like, oh, Romaine. How are things with Romaine? You know, you gotta lock that guy down. Look at you. Good for you. You got a handsome husband. You gotta keep that one. A week ago we said this. Now they're getting divorced. Wow, we are really great. Our timing is impeccable.
I would like to say that's really sad, but I think they separate like every other week. I mean, we did watch Real Housewives of Miami.
Yeah.
So I don't feel too sad yet.
I don't feel sad. I just think it's, especially here we're talking about this marital issue, but I mean, how crazy. Anyway, back to Robin.
I'm like doing my best to not shit talk, and I would like credit for not doing it. Okay, so next, Robin is on the radio talking about, they're talking about camps that they're hosting and
camp
stuff.
Juan.
It is rough because Juan doesn't like to teach or talk either. You know?
Yeah, he
Juan's
doesn't.
Juan's not a big talker.
He's like not sure what to even do. He's like, he literally looks like a gerbil that's being given a bath, like sort of skittish. I mean, like, because who would give a bath to a gerbil? And that's what he's thinking. He's like, I'm a gerbil. Why are you bathing me? Just let me run around in a wheel. I'm cute. Just give me something to chomp on. Give me a little water bottle. I'll run on the wheel.
So he poops in his ball. At least he's in the house. You know, he's trying, and he's so cute.
You know, I know it's weird, you know, a hamster should be in a cage, but I sort of like it when he rolls around on the ball. Like, you know, that's just our relationship.
It's how we roll. Get it? He didn't either.
I don't know if we'll ever be able to be together again. Maybe if he can get out of his little maze I keep building, then we can talk. But until then,
So one thing we didn't mention before in the Giselle and Cal scene, Giselle is going off about, how dare this? I heard that Ashley's going after, and how dare her? That is none of her business, and that is only Robin's business. And if anyone's going to go, you know, say something like that, it should be me, because we're real friends, you know? So she's decided that she's going to put Robin. This is Robin, right? Jizz, Sharice. Yeah, okay, Jizz, so now Jizz and Sharice, right?
Yeah.
So it's Giselle and Sasha. And it is so awkward because these women have hated each other for so long.
And on top of that, Giselle put her cheese and crackers on a cake stand, which is weird.
In the backyard, in the heat.
I mean, who does that? Seriously? Seriously.
So Potomac. The sprinklers come on.
In her new home. We should mention Giselle has a new home. She's moved out of that like very normal suburban home into something larger and probably rented.
So it's the new abode tour, and it's like tiny room, IKEA rug. Okay, let's go outside. Talk to me 12 days later. Okay, right now we're gonna eat outside. It's my most expensive furniture. So they go out there, and there's a random close-up of a butterfly on flowers, which I don't know, I took as poetry. Like, maybe these worms will eventually hatch. I don't know.
Maybe it means that little fawn is gonna come back.
All the fawns in Potomac were so terrified by season one that we haven't seen one again.
Yeah.
They all left.
We didn't see the deer. No more deer footage.
They've all started turning up belly up in the lake, and no one knows why.
That'd be nice.
So she's like, what would you like to drink? Champagne, sparkling water? And she's like, well, I'm finger trainer later, but I love champagne. Did I tell you about my champagne boom? It's like, yes! Shut up!
So Giselle, we get it, Sharice.
So Giselle is just laying it on thick. She's like, well, you're looking good, girl. I love this new Sharice. She's smiling and looking good. You look great. Have a seat. What can I do for you? She's like,
Yeah, she's like, I'll have a cracker off the cake plate, which is weird. But, you know, like, I mean, even I think that's weird. And I have a champagne room.
I won't be sweating until I go to the trainer. But that cheese is already sweating. All right, give it to me. Goes with my training theme.
So yeah, Giselle was basically sharing about, you know, what it was like when she was breaking up with her man. Is his name Eddie? I think it's Eddie. And how like she felt like everyone was up in her business, and how she'd go to Whole Foods and the cashier would be like, your man is no good, yada yada yada. And she's sort of like bonding with Sharice and everything, and Sharice uses this opportunity to, you know, complain about Ashley.
Yeah, she's like, thank you, that's nice. Ashley's a horrible human being, and all I was trying to do was buy a potato sack with glitter on it. And then she comes in there, and she starts telling me I'm miserable, and I'm waiting 4 years, and no man wants me. Oh, no, honey, that's not how it started. You started coming after Ashley, who was there to be nice, and trying to be nice, helping you have a dress, and then started screaming at her and called her husband old and gay. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
Fucking.
Well, you know, because they all, you know, because the most fun this show has is when the old women go after the young women. And that's, you know, so just they're just rallying. Like,
she
rallying
didn't
the
do
troops.
Anything. I was just trying to stop. And then she started attacking me.
Yeah.
And then Giselle's like, oh, no. No.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's not funny.
Giselle's like, did you tell the joke about the sperm, how they die because he's old? Tell that one.
I told her, I'm going to drink this glass of lemonade, and then I'm going to pay my telephone bill, bugaboo.
Oh, I wish I had that champagne. That way I could be drunk in love. Am I right? Eat the cracker off the cake stand, anime. What?
So,
why does Beyonce like anime anyway? No, it's not anime. It's Anna. Never mind.
So now, Giselle is already ready to go, right? So she's like, how could she talk about Ashley? That is not her job. How dare she respect Robin and her relationship? If someone's going to do that, it's going to be us because we're real friends.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just totally ignored this woman for a whole year, then went on national TV and tried to fuck up her divorce settlement by saying she's been fucking some fireman. So please stop pretending that you're like the best friend in the world.
Yeah. Let's drop that whole act.
Yeah. And Sharice is just like, well, it's not about me. Sounds good.
Yeah. So then we go over to to Chris and Monique, who are now showing up at their pastor's place, the pastor and the wife. And Monique's like, well, we got the house in Potomac. They accepted the offer. And I was so confused because I missed some detail in there in the beginning. I was like, did the pastor sell her the house? Why is she signing the paperwork of the house at the pastor's? And then I learned, then I saw that, oh, the pastor's wife was the real estate agent. I was like, oh, I was so confused at first.
And she even brags to the real estate people. She's like, well, we're getting that house. We're about to pay $4.5 million. And they're like, wow, that's like, awesome. She's like, I know the pastor and first lady for 10 years. There are realtors, pastors, godparents, gardeners, babysitters, cobblestoners.
Aquarium cleaners.
Fish tank cleaners.
Side yard mowers. So then, you know, they start talking and the pastor starts giving out advice and the pastor's starts saying like, well, for, you know, Monique, you got to remember that Chris is the number one. And Chris, you remember that Monique is number one, you know, after God, you know, because there's a difference between love and being in love. And Monique goes, that's deep. I was like, is it? Is it deep? I think it was about as deep as that aquarium.
We never think about it like that.
Okay. In love is when you want to go on a date. Love is when your wife is folding your tent underwear and pretending it's cute.
And the pastor's like, as I always say, there's no use crying over spilt milk.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, as I always say, when there's spilt milk, call the pastor. They'll clean it up. Here's a five.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. Actually, I have two cakes, so that way I can eat one and have the other one.
She really does, although I ate five of the cakes already.
You can't have your cake and not have Chris eat it all too. The pastor, and then, I love whenever there's a pastor on this show because they get so pastory. And here's what you need to believe, girl. I'm like, okay, you're not in church. You can calm down. And Monique says, well, pastor, we're in a really good place in our marriage, but I need other advice because Giselle. Like, nothing like being catty in the pastor's office, you know?
I know. And, of course, my first instinct was that she was talking about the website Jezebel. I was like, oh, she read something on Jezebel. I was like, oh, wait. You can see where my mind is always at.
I was like, mediocre films from the 50s? And then the pastor goes, Monique, did you call her a trick? She's like, I did, because it reminded me of Chris's mom. And I'm like, whoa.
And then Monique starts to, and then Monique starts to cry. And Chris goes,
baby, you don't have to cry.
She goes, well, it's just like his mom. They always want to have this respect level, you know? And it's the same type of spirit. It triggered me. And I've never asked to be married to someone with fame and wealth. I just happen to want to have a 500 man on top of me who poops 5 truckloads worth of poop every day and has underwear that can cover my house detected for bugs.
How awful is it, though? For real, though. How awful is it that Chris's mom wants respect? I mean, I'm so rude.
It's like moms just think they deserve respect because their moms earn it, babe.
I know. Like, for real. Like, no, you don't deserve, like, you're a mom and it's Mother's Day weekend and you want quote-unquote respect. I mean, please. Trick.
It should be called Mom, Why Don't You Make a Fucking Effort Day.
Yeah.
Okay?
So then Monique is like, maybe Giselle is someone who puts her hurt on other people. I'm like, oh, really? You think? What gave you that huge idea? She just went through a traumatizing divorce and is nasty to everyone she's jealous of. What makes you think that, Monique?
I think maybe she wants one of our 5 houses, or maybe it's my happy marriage, or maybe it's my millions of dollars, or maybe the famous rich husband I didn't try to get married to. It just happened.
Yeah,
what's up with this bitch saying nobody else can expect respect, but she expects respect right away? Why is it that she would get respect from everybody automatically? But they wouldn't get respect from her automatically.
It's the that's why she had to learn. Would it be because
she's rich and married to a famous man?
I don't know. Well, it's because we hold ourselves to double standards. I mean, there's so many times that we, you know, attack people for things that we are guilty of. And that's why the pastor was, and that's, I mean, like, hello, look at our podcast. I mean, if any of these people basically clap back at us, we'd be like, you're right, I'm sorry. So,
no, it's true. And I've learned, I've said it many times. I learned so much about myself on this show because once I learned that I was mad at myself, it explained so much.
Yeah, self-loathing. It's great. So the pastor is basically like, so Monique, you should probably apologize to Giselle. She's like, what? He's like, yeah, what you have to do is you have to offer yourself in humility, AKA you brag too much.
Yes.
But he's right.
A woman of God. See this? She want to talk? And she's like, well, because she interrupts him. She's like, well, I'm motor mouth Monique. That's what everybody says.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if that she really owes Giselle an apology, to be honest, but she could offer herself up in more humility. That's for sure. And she could try to actually connect with Giselle and listen and hear what Giselle has to say rather than talk about her five houses and her, you know,
fighting back with Giselle just kind of proves Giselle's point, and it gives her something to fight back with. If you just call Giselle and you're like, look, here's how I felt. I'm coming to you because I actually want to be friends. I know we're different, and I know that I annoy you, but here we are together in a friend group. So tell me what bothers me, what bothers you about me, and let's try and figure out how it can change. And if Giselle wants to change that shit later, great. But she won't anyway. But just to get her to stop fucking yelling at her, it would be like, you know what? You can use my house for a charity event whenever you want. Bitch will be nice to you. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Or just ask for advice. People love that. If you ask someone for advice, they suddenly feel important and special. She'd be like, Giselle, you know, I've been thinking, you've got great style. Where do you get it? How does someone like you do it all? How do you do it all, Giselle? And then Giselle would like you.
Well, I do it because Charisse has been fucking a fireman for an entire year and not telling her husband, and that's where my style comes from.
Good talk, Monique. Good talk.
Can't change Giselle.
So then Karen and Ray, they are now like piling themselves into a car to drive off because there's going to be an open house. And I like how Karen and Ray have just become this sweet old couple that putters around the fringes of this show now. They're not really involved with everything. They just sort of are always in a car. Ray's always dressed up in a blazer and a tie like he can go somewhere special. They just drive around.
Like, here we are, Ray, in the car. Do you like my hair? Because I got bangs and a ponytail, babe. And he's like, bangs and a ponytail. I love it. She's like, yes, thanks, Ray. Now, whose idea was it to sell anyway? It's like she's
Ray, slow down. Slow down, Ray. You know, they don't make Yugos like this anymore, so we can't get a replacement part if you crash it.
Open houses will never happen in a Hugo home. Thank you.
So they have a private showing of the house, and Karen's like, well, I hope they fall in love with my favorite part of the house, the grand foyer.
And then they cut to the people, and she's like, well, this is big. It's a little dated, but it's big. And then it cuts to Karen going, we've lived 20 years in Potomac, Ray. And he's like, you know how much an average person moves every 2 years. And she's like, I'm not average, Ray. Like, oh.
And then the buyers are just like cringing their nose. Like, does this house come with a Laserdisc player or can we get rid of it?
You know what I like to call you, Ray? My first nickname for you in the 90s, Blu-ray. And if they can't appreciate that, then they don't deserve their Hugo home. And he's like, those are the things that you put in there and they've got string in them. She's like, no, Ray, those are cassette tapes. I love those things. When I called you Cassette Ray. Record Ray. Oh, what a day. What a day that was.
So
I like when the lady goes, are they going to update this stove and this dishwasher? And then you look at the kitchen and they've got non-matching marble. It's like...
As not even marble. It's basically like, oh, this is just... We don't know what this is.
As we call like it rock. In France, it's formica le poisson. They're like, oh, well, that's lovely.
This is made from several penny farthings that have been melted down into a solid pattern.
So the guests basically are like, well, it's a little dated. I mean, can the price come down? And the realtor's like, we'll do anything. Just put in an offer. We'll talk them into anything. Just please put in an offer. It's like, wow, there's your hardcore realtor, your strong realtor for you.
Seriously. Maybe the hosts of Hometown can come in and spruce it up. So my least favorite show. Listen to the bonus episode, everyone. So so then we go over to Sarith, who is with her hunky assistant Greg. Greg is explaining his, like, so Charisse is in a tiara, Giselle comes in, and Greg starts explaining all the things he does. He's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm her assistant, I'm her stylist, I do her makeup, I facilitate her hair. I'm like, what does that even mean, you facilitate her hair? Are you, like, a special aide to the hair, like, welcoming the hair to its seat? I don't get this.
I was like, take off your mask, Portia, okay? No one fired you from Real Housewives of LA.
Yeah.
I facilitate her hair.
Yeah. Do we know why Sasha was wearing a tiara? I didn't understand that.
Did because this is my house, and I'm the queen of my house, and I'm going to have a champagne room.
Yeah.
So she's like, look, I'm kind of nervous about what we're going to do with Robin. And Giselle's like, brutal honesty. If I say something crazy, you got to have my back. And Charisse is like,
Yeah. So Robin and Giselle come over. Charisse shows them the champagne room. And one thing that really disgusted me was, like, you know, it's like basically an empty room that's just been demoed. And Charisse is walking around barefoot. I'm like, girl, there could be a nail. What are you doing? Put on, like, a flip-flop.
I'm actually rooting for the nail. So Robin Robin arrives, and they look at the room. She's like, oh, champagne.
It's a lot of champagne for a room.
And Charisse is like, I love champagne. I will eat it, drink it, puff it. I love champagnes. She said, I love champagnes. This house. Just demo the whole house, okay?
Yeah.
So she starts showing them plans on her phone of what it's going to look like. And I'm like, you stole that from Property Brothers. It's like one of those 3D drawing things they do. I ain't buying it.
It wasn't even Property Brothers. It was that show with Reza, whatever that was called.
Yes. I don't even remember. It's all done in like watercolors and colored pencils.
She's like, look at my new home. They said they'll do for me. And that's like all she gets is just a schematic. Nothing more.
Giselle's like, this is beautiful, but my awfulness is actually echoing here. Do you have a patio with sweaty cheese? That would be great.
Have you put the crackers out on the cake pedestal yet? Great.
So Charisse starts talking about Ashley being inappropriate. And she was horrible to me. I was just talking about normal things, and then she attacked me and called me a loser for being alone. Yeah. And Robin's like,
she's one of those people who's sitting in a glass house.
And Giselle goes, throwing stones as a 20-year-old.
That's what 20-year-olds do best. Robin basically tells us that she's going to pull out of the Oz event, which I think is funny because Ashley does enjoy the pull-out method. But she's just sick of Ashley and just wants to be disentangled from it.
And they're giving her shit for being young. And then Charisse starts doing that twerk thing on the couch, like making fun of her for being young. And I'm like, why is it okay for you to give her shit for being young? But she says one thing about your age and you guys like have a season long cross on your back.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, yeah, that Ashley, she really is throwing rocks and glass houses. She's saying things that she shouldn't be talking about. So Charisse, Robin, how do you feel about these rumors?
She goes, Ashley runs her mouth like a motorboat, and it's always up to me to set her straight, and I cannot believe she talked to you like that. Now we're in your business. How does it feel? It's like, Jesus. She goes, how does it feel when Ashley says your husband is sleeping with all of Potomac? And she goes,
well, she didn't say that. I mean, she's just beating a dead horse.
It's like, oh, God, now she's beating you. Come on.
Oh,
No one hit you.
So then it's more of the same stuff where Giselle and Charisse are saying that they just want the best Robin. They want Robin to win. And, you know, you can't give the best you. And Robin's like, why am I so focused on this all the time?
If someone tells me that Juan is cheating, I'm not going to confront him because we have kids.
What?
Yeah. I mean, she does say, well, you know, it's like financially it makes more sense for us not to split up the money. And we just live under the same roof. And they're like, okay, well, that makes sense. But nothing else you say makes sense.
Yeah. And then she tries the whole thing. Well, Giselle's like, he cheated, divorced, you take him back, you make him food, raise his kids, but you can't ask about a side piece? What is it, a wing, a breast, a foot, a giblet, a kidney, innards, beet? What is it? She's into her chicken, because she talked about KFC last week, too, in one of these.
She did, and it's making me hungry.
So then Robin tries her,
well, he's the one who wants a relationship with me, but I'm closed off. And if I say it works for me, you should trust me.
You know, no.
Well, I mean, I get that. I mean, it's none of their business, but at the same time, you know, nothing, certain things are not adding up. He wants to be with you, but if he's with other people, if he's telling you that he wants to be with you, but then he's with other people, then things are not adding up there. Then there's some dishonesty, and you're sleeping with dishonesty. I don't know. I think that they have a right to voice their concern at that level, and Robin has a right to say.
I think they do too. Yeah,
and Robin has a right to say it's working for me.
Excuses are bullshit.
Yeah, I think that Robin, in this case, she doesn't have to live her life for anyone except herself, and so she can keep doing this. But kind of what they're saying is, you're probably going to hurt yourself in the long run. And it might be fine now, but it's going to hurt in the long run. And honestly, it might be bad for the kids in the long run. We don't know. So
yeah, you can fool yourself, and that's your right. And she knows what her relationship is, and she's deciding to try and make it work anyway, and that's her right. But if your friends don't tell you the truth, then you'll really start to believe your own bullshit. And that's when it's hard, you know?
Yeah.
That's when it'll ruin your life. But she knows what she's doing, and if she wants to do it, then go, you know, good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Not good for her, but do what you will.
Yeah, exactly.
And at this point, I'd settle for a man who's, like, cute, barely wants to talk or pay any kind of attention to me, but I get the occasional late night lay. That's really all I want in life. I don't want someone yapping my head off anyway. So and maybe I could be with it, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? There are worse people to get the late night lay from than Juan Dixon Growl. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And Charisse is like, do you have a therapist? Because I found one that works for free on the internet that I saw in Atlanta. Maybe he can say things a whole different way. I'm like, you showed up to a party 2 days ago sobbing. So
I like Dr. Jeff. I liked him a lot. I thought he was really good on Atlanta. His only problem is that Nene was an asshole and like ruined everything.
Nene, Nene, come back, Nene. Nene, come back, Nene.
Pussy. No, Robin doesn't need a pussy who needs to feel her feelings. She needs someone. She needs like a Dr. Laura to be like, listen, bitch.
Yeah.
This is your fault. She'll be like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, no, she does need a doctor. Doctor, what's Jeff? Because if someone gives her tough love, she's just going to like her walls will be up. But I think she needs someone just sort of to hold her hand and be like, okay, Robin, so you're really damaged, and you may not realize it, but you're super damaged. You know?
Well, I think that you can – this is probably going too deep for this, but you can see, by the way, just her kids treat her and then the way they treat the dad. I mean, she says she's staying there for the kids, but you're basically showing two young men what it's like to not give a woman respect.
That's a great
point. Treat her however you want and go date other people, and they give her no respect. They do treat her like a doormat, so –
that's a great
point, you're not
Ronnie.
Really doing your kids favors either. So she needs a Dr. Laura, you know, someone to be like, you're hurting your kids. And she'll be like, oh, okay, I'll leave for the kids.
Ronnie, that was a really good point. I totally think that was probably the strongest point in all of this, which the sins of the father repeated on the children.
Laura. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So that's pretty much it for Potomac. Next week, it looks like they're going to be Dr. Jeff will make his appearance, and there'll be some tears and some fighting, which is good. And we have Mother's Day weekend coming up, but before we embark on a weekend of joy and festivities, we do have to dip our old hands into the Crappin's mailbag. I was like, it's Friday. I know we're supposed to be doing something on Friday, and this is it. So this question, by the way, the Crappin's Mailbag is something on Patreon. If you want to have your question read on the air, go to the Crappin's Mailbag. Go to Patreon and sign up at the Crappin's Mailbag level. So this is from Lourdes Gavilanis. Gavilanis? Gavilanes? Lourdes? Lourdes G. Lourdes. She says, in the throes of breakup torpor, this thought at 3 a.m. made me smile. Luke and Mikey stuck in traffic. Jules is driving. They're late. Go. First of all, Lourdes, sorry that you're in breakup torpor. That sucks. It was his fault.
Yeah, always his fault.
Okay, Luke, I'm assuming Luke from Ladies of London and Mikey from Beverly Hills, they're stuck in traffic and Jules is the driver and they're late. First of all, I'm just going to say, I feel like Luke's just going to be like, all right. I don't think he's going to say anything more than that.
Luke and Jules. Bah! Ladies of London Jules.
I'm assuming it's Ladies of London Jules and not Real Housewives of New York City Jules.
My vagina. Did I mention my vagina hurts? I was trying to climb out the window of this car and I hit it. Oh, God. Are you rolling up the window? Oh, my God. My vagina's ruined.
Hey, Luke.
Can I get you more dinner?
Hey, Luke, look in the glove box. Do you see what's in there? He's like, there's a fork. Yeah, there's a fork in the glove box. I hit it in there. Isn't that funny?
Luke, darling, it's been wonderful to drive in the car with you, Luke. Fortunately, I'm sober now. Do you have a mirror, darling? A mirror that I could lay flat down. Do you have a razor, darling?
Mikey's in the back seat. Yes, bitch. Go through that light, bitch. Next level. Merge, bitch. Merge. Yes.
I love to merge with many men because I'm single. I can merge with whoever I want. I merged with a doorman yesterday and an actual door in two separate days. Being young.
I'm confused. Did you put Lisa Vanderpump in this car?
No, it's Jules from Ladies of London.
Isn't that Jules?
No, I don't know who that was.
That's the friend who was the drug addict and was divorced and was always bragging about fucking dudes. What was her name? The new one on Ladies of London. The new one,
her name was...
I want to keep saying... like, look, just because you lost your children and you won't get visitation rights, no one likes you, and you're an ex-drug addict with no friends and no money, doesn't mean I should forgive you for acting up at a party. That was ridiculous. She's like, but I love you.
She spoke like this.
I'm too hurt.
No, I want to keep on saying Anthea, but that was from the...
Oh, it was close. You're close. Oh, my God.
It's
Althea?
No, it wasn't Althea. It was... or does it start with an S? It was like... my children.
That was such a stat. That was such a fucking sad story.
If I say, oh, my children.
We're like, LOL.
Caroline Stanbury, friend, Ladies of London. What was her name?
I'm looking right now.
Like Adelaide or Adela. Adela.
Adela.
Adela.
Adela. My children. Oh. No, Jules is Jules.
Juliet Angus or...
Oh, wait, no. Jules... Oh, wait, no, Jules... Well, because Jules could go for either one of them. I like we're still trying to figure out our scenario.
I think we did it. Sorry, we gave it to Luke and Adela.
We actually put in Jules Weinstein in the car. Adela snuck in. Mikey was there for a merge. You know that Caroline Fleming's at the Beverly Hills Hotel right now? Do you realize how close we are to Caroline Fleming? Is that not... Did you see her Instagram story?
Well, why don't we just go over there? What the hell are we still talking for?
I don't know. Wait, let me play her Instagram story because I put it on. Maybe you can hear it through the microphone because she talks about pancakes. Let's see. Come on. I hope it's still there.
I'm so proud of my beautiful friend, Deborah, who is the genius designer behind all of these completely incredible handbags that I love and adore.
That was not what I was expecting to come up, but I played it because I was really into it. The pancake thing is gone. She had a thing up with pancakes at an Instagram story, and she's like, here are some wonderful pancakes with blueberries and bacon, raspberries. Now here she is. Here are some handbags that I absolutely adore. How lucky are the handbags?
How lucky are you to have these handbags full of blueberries, strawberries,
A lot of housewives sell handbags.
They really, they must be easy to make. Here's a question. This one segues right from what we're talking about. Allison King. She goes, not sure if you've already done this, but I crave a conversation between Caroline Fleming and Ramona about when they were little girls. Who do you want to be?
So who is it again? Caroline Fleming and who else?
Ramona.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, you pick. I don't care. I like them both.
I like them both, too. I don't know. I'll be Ramona.
Okay.
Oh, Ramona, how lucky are you to be in my home. My great-great-great-grandfather built this home in the Berkshires.
Whoa, that's crazy. I'm just remembering right now. My great-great-great-great-grandfather, he was Danish just like you. And he loved to eat Danishes. And that's what I was told. And one time when I was a little girl, I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do as tribute to my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather who was never murdered? I decided I was going to have a Danish too. And Geraldine Parsons Smith said, no, you shouldn't eat that. It'll just make you fat. You shouldn't eat anything at all except for rice and beans. And to this day, I've never had a pastry. I'm sorry, Caroline Fleming, but I don't eat pastries based on your people.
Oh, well, so funny you should mention that, because my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather once asked for a Danish at his friend's home. And the friend told him, we don't serve Danishes. And my great-great-great-great-grandfather said, how unsplendidly unlucky are you. I shall murder you now for having no Danishes. He chopped off his head and built a Danish shop on top of it. It must have been your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
I'm sorry, but murder is déclassé. I'm sorry. You shouldn't be doing that. And if I ever have a Danish, which I don't think I will, because what you did was so déclassé, but if I were to have one, I would have it on a plate that was yellow, because yellow reminds me of sunshine. What do you think about sunshine?
I'm sorry, I made some almond butter.
Oh, that's crazy. I always eat almond butter on my Danishes that I don't eat, which is weird. I put the almond butter on it, and then I lick it off the Danish because I refuse to eat Danishes for all the reasons I already explained to you, okay?
Slow fade.
Able skewers.
Now, what do you think of kebabs?
What am I, a kebab? I don't get it. Sorry. Stick a skewer to me? I don't think skewers are right, okay? How about you just put something on a plate? Sorry.
Oh, slow fade.
And that's the show, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.